Welcome to my Soul Life podcast and my Intuition and Manifestation 10-part series. I'm your host, Susan Scollin, and over our 10 weeks together, you're going to hear from incredible people just like you and I who are actively tapping into their intuition and manifesting their soul life. Most importantly, though, this is about encouraging you to tap into your intuition and the way it speaks to you and understanding that you're already living your soul life. There might be some edges you want to tweak or you're ready for an overhaul. Whatever it is, your manifestation process is going to support you in creating your soul life. Get your pens and paper out and let's dive in. A quick reminder for you that all the information shared in this podcast is my experience and the experience of my guest. It's not medical or mental health advice, diagnosis or treatment, and I'd encourage you to seek professional advice where needed. Hi everyone, today I'm chatting with another one of my beautiful soul sisters, Maureen Kafkas, and diving into intuition and manifestation from her perspective. Maureen gives us her personal perspective on tuning into her intuition and how she was trying to do it everyone else's way, but the truth came for her when she found her way. Again, she's perfect for this series. Maureen shares with us how human design and gene keys play such an important role for her and how they've helped her to get to know herself on a deeper level. How getting what you think you want will block you from all the magic that can come in. What happens when she doesn't listen to her spleen, aka one of the ways her intuition communicates with her. Why impatience and urgency can keep us stuck. And how our ego can be sneaky and make things look super attractive, and so much more. Maureen takes us deeper into human design and gene keys and the laws of the universe. Her chat with me continues to build on the incredible information that's already been shared in my previous episodes with myself, Gretchen, Eleni, Erica, Kylie, Tess, and Sean. Make sure you check them out. See you inside. Welcome, Maureen. It's so lovely to be here with you, and I'm excited to talk about our intuition and how you manifest and all of that. So great to have you here.
Well, I'm happy to be here. So I'm Maureen Kafkas. I've been on the podcast once before, so I'm sort of a regular now.
Yes, officially.
Soul sisters and have the same kind of thing going on and doing the same thing. I call myself the Brain BS Coach. So, and by brain BS, I'm pretty much, my definition of brain BS has changed as I've evolved. And really what brain BS is your subconscious programming. It's thoughts that are going on inside you that sometimes you're not even aware of, but then there's ones that you're aware of and you're actually believing them and they're BS. They're not true.
Yeah. And you were talking before, like before we got on to hit record, around the sneaky ones. Like there are sneaky thoughts that we think are really serving us, but they're actually not. And that's even deeper BS, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's and I've been working very, very intensely on my brain BS for the last 3 years. And I just caught myself on something major like this past week. So yeah, it never goes away and it can always be sneaky, that ego. But I think I have it figured out now, but we'll see. I'm sure something else will come up.
Yes. Something always comes up, like, and you kind of go, why didn't I see that? And then you're like, oh, whatever. Let's just work through that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, do you find now that you're a lot more softer with yourself around when you see those things come up and you go, oh, like seriously, like that whole, how did I miss it? But it's okay. We'll get through it versus an older version, which possibly would have beat yourself over the head about it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's no comparison. Before I started doing this work, I was so hard on myself and I kind of thought that was admirable.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good thing that would inspire me to try harder. But honestly, it was the worst thing ever because I never felt good enough. I never felt like I was doing things right. I always thought I was disappointing someone. I was always trying to please someone. I mean, it's, yeah, no, it's totally different now. I don't think I'm really hard on myself too much about anything anymore.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How does that feel to you?
It feels good. It feels calm. So I don't know if you've ever, I talk about books all the time because I love them. And Terrence Real's book, he talks about how we each have the maladaptive child self, which is our relational stance that we get when we're younger to protect ourselves and in our family unit. And that becomes our way. So it's like it could go back to when we're little or teenage years. So you can be in your maladaptive child self. And that's where the majority of humans are because they haven't done a lot of this work. And then you have your wise adult self.
Yeah.
And your wise adult self is like your highest self. It's like your soul. And it's calm. It's very calm. It's very grounded. It's very confident and it's very present. So I feel like right now I spend more of my time in that place. So it feels really good. And when you're in that place, you can't really beat yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just really nice. Yeah. I feel like I'm in the same
space. Other people.
Yeah, that's true. But you're not judging on yourself. So therefore you don't judge other people. You stay open for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's dive in. Let's dive into your intuition. Like in your words, what does intuition mean to you?
Intuition is my highest self talking to me and telling me what I should do. It's guiding me. And it's never like really intense or really worked up or really, it's again, that it comes from the wise adult self, that aspect. So it's calm. It's grounded. It's just, it's a knowing in me. It's not even, sometimes it can be words, but for the most part, it's just a knowing about whether I'm supposed to do something or not. But then I'm also a 2-4 splenic projector in human design. So my spleen's there. And this is the way I was taught by Christy Engin. I really like the way she described it. So this is what I use, is that my spleen is like a hard no. And tells me when something's off and it's like, no, and I can feel it. And I feel it in my chest from my where is this? Like my neck to my solar plexus. It feels like a metal wall comes down and it's just like when it's a really hard no, that's how it feels. Otherwise it's just no. So my spleen tells me no. And my intuition tells me when I should proceed with something. And I rarely get what I think I'm going to get. And I know that now. So I don't expect anything when I follow my intuition now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? So you have, what I'm hearing you say is you have an idea in your mind, perhaps, of how something's going to turn out. And then it turns out differently. Is that correct? Or is it
different? Yeah, almost always and that's actually in my design too, is when I think I want something or I think I need something, I now know that my intuition in the universe knows better what I need than anything I can dream up in my mind. So I go and do something. For example, I can tell you 2 business coaches that I hired in the past. I spent $6,000 on one and $8,000 on another one. I didn't really follow them very much at all when I first decided to work with them. I didn't particularly even like the way they were doing things, but my intuition just told me that that's where I was supposed to go, and I did. And I didn't really make money with either one of them, which is why I thought I hired them. But I learned a lot of other stuff that's been way more valuable, because it turns out the universe didn't think me getting money back then was a good idea. And I tend to agree with them because I did not have a nervous system to support it.
That's an interesting point. And interesting that your intuition had guided you to these 2 coaches, but what you got out of them was what you got out of them was very different to what you thought you were going to get out of them.
Very. Yes. One of them, I did learn a really valuable lesson. How to release my feelings.
Yeah.
And to do meditation a little differently than I had ever done it before. So now when I meditate, I usually cry a lot, but it's not associated. It's not sad. Like, I don't even know why I'm crying. It just, emotions come up and I set the story aside and I just, sometimes I'll bawl and I don't even know why I'm doing it. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then that's it. And I just do that over and over. And I got that from her. So that's pretty huge. So I'll always be grateful for that. I mean, was it worth $8,000? I'm not sure, but since that's the situation I was in, I'm going to say yes. And then the second one, what I learned, and I won't share this story because I want to stay in a high vibration while we have our conversation, but let's just say she got me to tap into my anger and help me to find my voice. And working with her made me realize that I shouldn't be listening to anybody else about how to do my business, and I should be listening to myself. And then that brought me into human design to really figure out how to do that and trust my inner authority.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, and it's a path, like you just talked about, like you can go into something and thinking that it's going to work out a particular way. And then you uncover so much more depth comes through. And that's what our intuition knows. Do you feel like your intuition has ever guided you wrong?
No, but there's a reason why I think that, because I have a very spiritual approach to life. So I always think everything's happening for a reason, and it's happening for me, not to me. So you will never, ever hear me say that my intuition hasn't served me, because no matter what the present reality is of that situation, I'm going to figure out the gift in it and how it worked for me and not to me, and then go to the next step. And that has really, truly become a solid way of life for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so you spoke before about the ways that your intuition speaks to you. The intuition from a yes perspective or a movement forward perspective is that internal knowing. And then if it's a no, if something is it because something's presented to you, then you get the wall that comes down between your throat chakra.
I have a great example of the no, if you want to hear it.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
It's really good. Okay, so I went to the dentist a while ago because I needed to get a new mouth guard because I lost mine. I don't know where it went. So I went there. And the dentist that I usually work with was traveling. And then this other guy I like, but there's this one dentist there that I just have a visceral, it's an energy thing. It's just like a solid no for me, right? So I go in and lo and behold, who's there? It's that dentist. And I was just like, oh, and we were getting ready to go away for a long trip. And I was like, my mind's telling me why I should stay there and not, you know, not make a big thing about this. But I was like, not very nice. My energy was like, I mean, it was like I was on guard. I was very uncomfortable with her, but I stayed. And when she was doing the mouth guard, she pushed my throat back in a way and I started to gag. And she said, I know, it's normal. Well, this is my third mouth guard and that's never happened to me before. And I was like, I was so mad at myself for not listening to my intuition. So I was like, okay. I told the assistant after she left the room, okay, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. And I'm sorry I'm being the way I am. But my intuition just told me I should not let her do that. And I didn't listen to it. And I called it intuition because I'm not going to tell her my spleen told me that. That might be a little bit too much for her to handle. And she said that moving forward, I wouldn't have to go back to her. But it turns out I ended up having all these issues with this mouth guard and really bad pain. And the mouth guard needed to be adjusted. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and because the spleen tells you when you're not going to be safe. It's not really about like what, if you're going to get what you want or not. It keeps you safe. And it only shows up in the moment and you have to listen to it that one time. Yeah. So flash forward a few weeks ago, I was going to do a podcast episode and a guest came on that was going to be on the podcast and we started talking and that same wall.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'll be damned if I'm not going to follow my intuition this time, no matter how uncomfortable it is and no matter how much my mind doesn't like it. And I just told the person, I'm sorry, like, we're just not an energetic match. This isn't going to work out. I'm a 2-4 spleen and projector, and it is like a hard no. And she appreciated me telling her that, and we had a conversation about it. And then that was it. But I was like, no. So now I know I'm not, I feel like I have a pretty solid relationship with my spleen now, and I know better than to not listen, but we'll see. Like, those are
forward. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. And it's like, there's that, especially with somebody, yeah, and you're podcasting with them, it's that, for me, it would be that people pleasing, you know, it's fine, we can just get through this, just keep moving forward, as opposed to, we can't do this anymore. And so being able to say that, that's credit to you.
Yeah. Well, I'm a recovering people pleaser. Yeah. And I'll even go so far as to say recovered.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really don't think it's going to be a big deal for me anymore. I've kind of, the cat's out of the bag. I've kind of come out as my open, authentic self. So there's no going back once you do that.
No, there's not. And it's, we could talk about, that's a separate topic we could talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you know the difference between your intuition then and your ego?
Okay. So that's interesting, because you know, you have those, like, those voices in your head, right? Like your child self, who's just like, oh, come on, keep doing things the way you always did. And that's really tied to your ego. And then your intuition is usually guiding you in a much calmer and more grounded way. But then your ego can be sneaky, and it can make you, the intuition's a knowing, the ego's a voice. Now, I just realized that now when we're talking, that that's how the intuition is just a knowing I should do it. Now, like, so that's a good way for me to keep that straight, is that the ego's always like trying to rationalize. It's always trying to rationalize something that my wise adult self knows is not in my best interest, but it can make it very, very attractive and make it look like I'm really doing like something, like really managing my mind and be really thoughtful. But I'm actually not. I'm just giving into my cravings for food and beverage and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And you deserve it, perhaps, you know, some of those sorts of stories. It's okay. We can just have one, all that sort of.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Oh, my personal favorite, and you'll appreciate this because you're really into spirituality too. I'm like, well, none of it really matters.
Exactly.
Who cares? I mean, we're spiritual beings here in human bodies. Like, what we eat and drink really doesn't matter. And I actually like believe this brain BS, thinking it's coming from my spiritual self, and it's not.
Yeah. That one pops up for me so often, and I'm just like, what about my values? What's important to me?
How about the way I feel? Does it matter what I eat and drink and how my body feels on a regular basis? Having a clear head so I can actually listen to my intuition.
Exactly. Because if we're blocked up with all of those toxins, what I will say is toxins, whether it is or not, but it's when you can't hear your intuition. You can't tap into, you know, the fifth dimension. You can't, you know, sit down and meditate comfortably either. So allowing yourself that space, like, or saying, hey, we're not going to do that because it's actually not where we want to go. Versus what the ego is saying, oh, it's just, you know, it doesn't really matter. One's okay. Let's just do it. But it comes back to that childish.
So when I heard that, I kind of feel like I'm onto it, that's the ego.
Yeah.
It's when I make it about my spirituality that I get tricked. Right. And this just happened to me because I just weighed myself and weighed more than I have in a long time. So now I'm back on the downswing again because I was like, well, just eat intuitively. Your body knows. Listen to your body. But I wasn't listening to my body. It's all these things I try to do where I'm trusting my intuition. Like, I know what I need to do. I'm 59. Okay. I'm not new to the game of weight loss and keeping my weight down and being healthy. So I actually need to curb my appetite and have a little discipline and walk, right? Exercise and be active. It's always, anytime I get into trouble, it's either, so in the past, people pleasing and using spirituality as an excuse to do that so I don't have to speak up and be so uncomfortable setting boundaries with people. And I'm sorry if I'm all over the place. I kind of get a little bit. Am I all over the place?
No, not at all.
All right.
This is about speaking your truth, which is really nice. And it's really lovely to hear, because you're not the only one that I've interviewed that's gone, oh, that's how I hear my ego. Oh, that's really interesting. Or, you know, like, it's... it's this, we live this life and then kind of we, even for those that are in the spiritual space, we still don't stop and have a look at certain things until we're presented with the question. So it's good fun.
Yeah.
It's good fun. And it's good fun for the listeners to hear you unpack it too.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be too scattered.
No, it's all good. So tell us, what is your manifestation process? What does that look like for you?
Okay, so have you heard, you know, the Gene Keys and Richard Rudd?
Yes.
Human Design, it's like his take on it. So I did the Golden Path program. And the Golden Path program has three parts to it. The activation sequence is your purpose. The Venus sequence is your relationships. And the Pearl sequence is your how to make money. Mm-hmm. So I did all of those. Now I just completely lost my train of thought.
How do you manifest?
Oh, so in the Golden Path program and doing all that work with my energy type and my incarnation cross, I can't visualize things. I don't visualize things and I don't know what's going to happen. So I don't really manifest in advance. Like I manifest how I want to feel, but not really what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Has that always, have you always never been able to visualize?
No, I have been, but I've never really challenged myself in the way I am now being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So it's not that hard to visualize. Like you can visualize yourself being in a nice house.
Gotcha.
And, you know, like all the good things and stuff like that. But like how I'm going to contribute to the planet and humanity and helping other people, I get ideas in the moment, but I'm open to the fact that they might not be the best ideas. And that the universe might have something better in store for me. So I use a lot of Richard Rudd to help me with manifesting. And then the law of divine compensation by Marianne Williamson. She talks in there about if you think, it's taught me to ask a lot of questions of myself. So that's sort of part of the process too. I ask myself or God or the universe, I call it. You could call it whatever you want. Is this the best way that I could be thinking and in the best interest for everybody? Is this idea that I'm working towards, am I on the right path? And if not, can you please help me to think differently so I can get back on the right path? So it's asking for how to think differently, and it works. It comes up and it tells me when I'm doing things and I'm on course, and then I get an idea when I'm not. I can sense it and I can feel it.
Yeah. So do you feel like you still use your splenic for that? Like it's almost like the wall, you'll ask the question and perhaps the wall will come up like that's the wrong question or that's...
No, because the spleen only does that for safety.
Okay.
Literally okay. For your safety is what the spleen's about and in the moment. And then it's my intuition. But my intuition is right there next to my spleen. It's like a different kind of intuition than the knowing. But it's just like, just do it.
Yeah.
Or don't do it. Like it's there in that moment to protect me. But it's really the spleen. The spleen just tells you no. And sometimes it's a soft no. Sometimes it's a hard no. And sometimes it's just a neutral. It doesn't matter. You're not in danger, so you can do what you want. But you can never ask the wrong questions. You just can't.
Yeah.
Like right, anytime you're asking. So you can ask better questions, right, to get to where you're going to go. But that becomes an art. So the more you start asking the questions of yourself, the more you get into Karen Curry Parker, too, who's really into the quantum human design. I listened to a course on hers, and she talks about prayer as being asking questions. Mm. Because you don't want to pray for something. This is the thing with manifesting. When you manifest something, you're praying for something to happen. And what if the universe has something so much better in store for you and you're completely selling yourself short by praying for this one thing? And then you're closing yourself off to all the other possibilities of what can be out there that you can receive. So I can get, like, I really try. I always did, like, when I started at the life coach school and getting certified as a coach, and they were talking about visualizing, and I was like, for the life of me, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't get the clarity of getting specific. And then when I did the Golden Path program, I was like, oh my God, what a relief. It's like not in me to do that. That's yeah. just not how I operate. I'm more a stay in the moment. And really for me, it's trust. Trust is the biggest thing I had to learn, is get an idea of what I think I want. And then if I stay in my highest self, that's how I manifest.
Yeah.
It doesn't, because when I stay in my highest self, literally everything I need, every single step along the way is given to me so easily. It's like, and now I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, I asked about this and now it's right here in front of me. And it happens over and over again. But when I get sidetracked and I get out of my highest self, then it stops.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It doesn't come to me as easily. It gets murky and it gets kind of, but I also, that's part of the process too, because nobody stays in their highest self all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that evolution. What are the ways that you utilize, or tools perhaps that you utilize to stay in your higher self or get back to your higher self?
So what I've been doing lately, and it changes all the time, but what I've been doing lately is every morning I wake up. So whenever I go to read books, I get my legal pads out. I've graduated to the college notebooks.
That's awesome. I know.
So I could write on both sides because I kind of felt bad for the trees. And so I read books. One of my favorite ones is The Right Questions by Debbie Ford. I love Us by Terrence Rill. I love Why Talking Is Not Enough by Susan Page. So I love these books and I read them and I take notes on them and the page numbers and I put them in a pile. They're all in a folder. And every morning I wake up and I read those notes. That's how I start my day. And then I also did, there's this book called A Visionary Life by Mark Allen. And I did an exercise where you actually write out everything that you want, as much as I could get clear on what I wanted and how I wanted it to be. And it was more around emotions and how I was feeling than it is about what something's going to look like and that. So I look at that every morning too, to remind myself. So it's just keeping this work in the forefront of everything I do. And my dogs help me. Walking helps me. I meditate every day. Sometimes I do tapping or I try different things. I take advantage of tools I hear from other people, but it's definitely out of everything in my life. This work is the most forefront before I worry about my course and business and all that stuff.
Yeah. So before you worry about manifesting anything, if you are doing, you know, your higher purpose or your tapping into your higher self, that's like your foundation piece. And then asking the questions and allowing those answers to come to you or whatever to be presented to you so you know where your next step is, but not getting ahead of the game, like just staying present in the moment.
Right. The questions are more of, am I on track?
Gotcha.
Because no, the manifesting literally is keeping the spirituality in the forefront. There's no more to it. Like I'm not attached. Like I'm doing a course right now. It could be possible that nobody buys it.
Yeah.
And if that happens, I'm not attached to it. I totally trust that my abundance is coming. It's just a matter of time. And when I get it right and what is correct for me and the universe, it will happen. So I find myself like sometimes like, well, I should be picturing all the money coming in and all this stuff. And I do kind of the feeling of what it's going to be like for being recognized and being financially successful, but I already feel totally successful. And that feeling, staying in the feeling of abundance and feeling totally successful when I haven't even made a penny this year, that's how I manifest. If there's no vision, there's no specifics. It's like I stay present. I do that. I make sure I'm on track and I trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And trust is a big one for so many people. That's a hard one to do, but it's coming back to yourself, coming back to everything that I want, everything that I am worthy of is coming to me. I just need to trust that it's coming to me and build that trust muscle over time.
Yeah. And one of my favorite, so here's one of the biggest things that gets people, it's impatience and urgency and yes. thinking you should have the results before they do. So one of my favorite all-time quotes ever, and it's so ironic because when I first went to the life coach school, I heard about this book and I found this quote and I loved it and I left it. And now here I am talking about it 3 years later and it's uppermost in my mind again. And it's everything happens in an easy, relaxed manner, in a healthy, positive way, in its own perfect time. Mm. And I say that to myself. Whenever I need to say it, I live that now. So I don't have that urgency anymore. Because I mean, that urgency caused me so much suffering and led me to think that all these things were going wrong and nothing was going wrong. I just couldn't see it clearly.
Yeah, yeah. And what you're describing to me is that it's who you're becoming on the journey will just, and the outcome will naturally, you know, create itself effectively, but it's that becoming that's so much more important and that journey that you're on, because the outcome is a given anyway.
Yeah. And it's in, it's also like in my design that I'm never going to arrive anywhere where I'm finished. So I'm never going to have yeah. that feeling of like, oh, I did it. You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's just not, it's for me, it is the journey and it's who I become and who I get to support
yeah.
along the way. That's also how I manifest, because part of my design and my purpose is to collaborate with other coaches and to support them and that we're all in this together. It's not a competition, you know, it's a collaboration. So anything that I can do to help other people, anything that I can do to keep my vibration high, it's really just any opportunity throughout the entire day that comes up that I can do something for someone. Sometimes I'm sitting at my computer and I'm kind of like in a funk or whatever, and I'm like, what can I do? How can I help someone? And I go into one of the coaching groups and I try to help them. And then I get something back that I really helped them. And because I kind of tend to look at business a little bit different than the average person. Yeah. And I get a lot of feedback that's really helpful. And then I'm like, okay, then it's like those little jolts. Like sometimes it's about service. Sometimes it's about taking care of yourself. Sometimes it's about saying no, you know, yeah. all the things of self-care.
Yeah. And tuning in and listening to what you need in the moment and then going and creating that, whatever it might look like.
And being willing to feel uncomfortable when you tell other people what you have to do.
Yes.
It doesn't always go over real well when people are used to you being a people pleaser and you stop doing that. It's very uncomfortable for everybody. But it gets easier and it gets better. And it's the only way that you can change your relationships in business or your personal life is if you're willing to do that.
Yeah.
Which is required if you're manifesting something. You yes. can't see the same version of yourself when you're trying to manifest something. You can't be the same as the person who gets it.
Yeah.
It's not possible, because that's law of cause and effect. If you're thinking, you have the law of thinking that's just thoughts trigger feelings, those lead to actions, and that gives us the results. That's all good and great, but it doesn't change anything because it's just thinking alone. It's the taking action that gives you the law of cause and effect. That is changing your thinking and then supporting it with an action that will get you the result that you want. Mm. So you kind of have to do both. You can't just do one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't just stop and think or visualize or, you know, dream the fact that I'm going to create this thing. I actually have to take action towards it to then bring it in. And I don't know about you, but the more action, and it's not about more action, but the aligned action that I take can bring it in a lot quicker than even I thought was possible.
Yeah. And in order to take the actions that you need to get that effect, you have to change the way you're thinking.
Yes.
You cannot stay the same person literally when you're manifesting as when you, unless you manifest the way I do.
Yeah.
Right. But even me, I'm evolving. So each time you do it, I get to another level. So the closer, and you can tell if you're doing it by looking at your environment. Mm. If your environment is the same and you think you've been doing all this work and you're like really evolving, but your environment's exactly the same, you're not.
Yeah.
Because it's not possible.
Yeah.
Your environment has to change if you're really like focused on what you want and you don't have any underlying commitments that are keeping you from doing it.
Yeah. The outside world is a reflection of your inside world. So, because you just brought a few things to mind for me, and I'm like, yeah, if we're doing the same thing or getting the same results, even though our ego can tell us it looks different, can be the same, it just looks different. You're not changing on the inside. So it's like, what are the next level thoughts that you need to create, the next level feelings that you need to create to then be able to move forward, and those next level actions that align with that as well. So it's that constant, it's like a cauldron. It's like constant building of heat and fire to then be able to move yourself forward, even though it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And here's the really hard part.
Yeah.
Just the word that, like, it's all about relationships. You can't be spiritually evolving if it's not making it to your relationships.
Yeah.
It's not possible, right? It's like Richard Rudd calls that a spiritual mistake. When you think that you're doing all this work but then you're still like looking at your spouse and like, you know, it's and not that that's not going to happen sometimes, because we all know what marriage is like. It's going to happen for sure. But if you're in that state, like for me, so I did a lot of work on relationships this past year, and I came to realize that I can be pretty mean, and I can be pretty self-centered, and I can be pretty demanding and want things my way a lot. And I can also be a major people pleaser and not say that and be full of resentment and blame everybody else for it. So imagine if that's how I manifest. I'm not sure why things weren't going well for me. You know, here I am in this energy that's so like not where I want to be. But then you do the work, but you have to, like, doing that work and bringing it to your relationships and bringing it to the ordinary and the mundane is what Richard Rudd says. That's when you know that you're really learning it and you're really taking it in and you're applying it. Because it's a practice, spirituality. It's not just something to learn about. It's like something you're supposed to, you have to practice it for it to become a part of your life and to really have a ripple effect on other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So can you tell us if there's something that you're manifesting at the moment?
Well, so I'm working on my course, and my course is Mastering Brain BS for Success and Creating a Nervous System to Support It. So that's what the course is about. And I have two that I'm going to do, one for the struggling coach, because they help a lot of people. So I want to get them in a better place as soon as possible. And then one for the average person. So I'm hoping that this is, I'm pretty confident, actually. My intuition feels pretty confident that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and that I'm spot on exactly where I'm supposed to be in my journey right now. So it's kind of funny, because I don't know if I feel like it's manifesting. It's sort of like a knowing.
Yeah.
That it, for at least right now, sort of like with those coaches, right?
Yeah.
Right now I know I'm supposed to do the course. And then I'm still trusting how that's going to play out. And then I'm turning 60 this year, and I am I'm creating a new life for myself. I'm doing a total makeover for how I want my life to be. As I've said, I'm a recovered people pleaser. I've kind of shaken up things in my family and in my relationships. And it's been a challenging time for all of us, but I am looking to have a really fun, and I started doing this thinking I wanted more of a social life and more life of my own, on my own, a couple years ago. So it's actually happening now. So that's my evidence that it's working, because my environment's changing and I actually had the uncomfortable conversations, said the no's, disappointed people in major ways. And now I have plans to do things. So it's coming to fruition because I just keep thinking about what I want. But what was happening before was I was staying in scarcity about what I wanted and thinking, I don't want this anymore. I don't want it to be like this anymore. So I wasn't in an abundance place, feeling successful already. And now I'm like, now I'm getting it. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to be kind and loving while I get my way, not mean, bossy, and angry. So, but I needed mean, bossy, and angry to start taking care of myself again. Now my work, and this is part of what I'm cultivating for myself, is to being kind and loving in my relationships with everybody and get my needs met as well as theirs. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing I'm manifesting. That's the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
And it's starting to happen.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And so just a final question, what would you say to somebody who is just starting out on, you know, their journey of following their intuition or manifesting process, or somebody that's is in the process of, you know, playing around with it, but is a bit lost? What would you say to them?
I would say that the first thing that you have to do is uncover your subconscious programming and really, really understand how you got to where you are right now. And embrace all of it. You have to embrace all of it. And that takes a little bit of work and it takes some time. So you have to take your time with this. You can't have a deadline or urgency. It's going to unfold the way it's supposed to. But that subconscious programming and releasing the emotions from all the pain that you've experienced your entire life, you have to let go of that if you want to create something new. If you want to reprogram your subconscious, you can't squash good stuff on top of the bad. It doesn't work that way. So you have to address, you have to look at your shadows and your flaws and figure out a way that they're a really big gift for you. And then you start working consciously at what you want and finding your purpose. And really, you do that by understanding yourself. You do that by understanding your inner authority. And for me, human design was a huge part of really understanding myself and figuring out how I fit into the world and how to navigate it to get what I want.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your wisdom that you've shared today. I really appreciate you. And it's amazing. It's lovely to have this conversation and hear how you manifest, like I said, and hear your intuition and how unique that is to you. So thank you so much, Maureen.
Well, thanks for having me. I always enjoy coming on here. You'll have to come back on my podcast. We'll just keep going back and forth.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. How amazing was my chat with Maureen? Thank you, Maureen, for everything you shared with us. Now, Maureen and I would love to hear your takeaways, so head over to my.soul.life.podcast on Instagram or my website, susanscollin.com, and share them with us. For me personally, the key thing that sits with me from my chat with Maureen is the fact that our environment has to change for us to manifest what we want. It's the old saying, doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's not going to work, right? As Maureen beautifully shares with us, we can't be the same person who manifests the thing into our life as the person who felt like it was the way to go. So letting go of not wanting things to change is an important step, because really, we want things to change. We want to manifest things into our lives, and that is change. So, have you downloaded my Intuition and Manifestation ebook, which will support you in uncovering your intuition and manifestation process? It's free and you get it over on my website, susanscollin.com, or if you head to Instagram, just click on the link in the bio and you'll find it there. Thank you so much for being here. And next week, our 9th Intuition and Manifestation episode is with the beautiful Kathy Marcus. And you're going to want to hear how she shares with us that we have to stay open. That means we can open, then close, open and close.
experimenting with safe spaces, and when we experiment with staying open, we experiment with learning to trust our intuition and getting to know how it communicates with us so we can trust it more and build a deeper relationship with it. See you in the next episode.